Good afternoon. Today I'll be talking to you about my research focusing on evaluating plant diversity effects in native warm season forage mixtures. So grasslands are multifunctional areas that can provide a variety of ecosystem services. These include such things like nutrient cycling, forage productivity, and also providing wildlife habitat. Grasslands are also a community that's been frequently used for diversity studies. And recent research suggests that there's actually a positive relationship between increased diversity and also increased ecosystem services and ecosystem functions. However, in Virginia, where my research is taking place, these grasslands are often dominated by just a few cool season species. Like I say, where my research is, these are often introduced species like tall fescue and orchard grass. So what we're interested in understanding is how using native warm season perennials in this grassland system can contribute to ecosystem services. In particular, the service that we look at is productivity. So these warm season perennials have several adaptations that can be beneficial in these grassland systems. First of all, they have the potential for high productivity. In addition, these species are relatively tolerant of drought and low nutrient conditions. And importantly, they experience the bulk of their growth during the hottest part of the summer. The diagram below shows you how warm season grasses can actually complement a cool season system, as cool season grasses typically provide the bulk of their forage in the spring and in the fall, so that warm season species then have the potential of providing forage during this cool season summer slump. In addition, the use of these warm season perennials for biofuel production has been growing in recent years. One possible drawback of using these warm season perennials is their slow establishment. Some reports do suggest that it could take up to 3 years for stands to reach full maturity. So, previous research has showed that there are benefits to using diverse systems for ecosystem services. In addition, other research has shown that warm season perennials can be advantageous in grasslands. Therefore, we ask the question, what is the value of both warm season perennials and diversity in grasslands? And to that effect, we hypothesize that warm season perennial diversity will help increase forage production, improve the value of the nutrient value of our forages, and also to reduce weed biomass. And to test this hypothesis, we established two experiments, a large plot and a small plot one. And today I'll be presenting the results from the first 2 seasons worth of data. So both experiments were established in late May, early June of 2008 at Kentland Farm, and this is located about 9 miles west of Blacksburg, Virginia. And in both experiments, we used species drawn from a pool of 10 native species. This was a mixture that was selected based on a similar mixture used for wildlife habitat. And these 10 species are generally hardy species that are easy to establish. This list includes 4 warm season grasses, 1 cool season grass, 3 legumes, and 2 forbs. The first experiment that I'll discuss today is our large plot experiment. And the objective of this large plot experiment was to evaluate how species composition affects plant productivity during the establishment phase of our grasslands. For this experiment, we tested 3 different species mixtures, each no-till drilled at 12.75 kilograms per hectare of pure live seed. And these 3 mixtures were switchgrass monoculture, a mixture of 4 grasses, which were switchgrass, big bluestem, Indian grass, and Virginia wild rye, and also a mixture consisting of all 10 species. For this experiment, we put this on 4 different blocks, each with 1 replication of a treatment of approximately 4/10 of a hectare. So here's some photos of what the plots looked like in mid-season of 2008, which was our establishment year. As you can see, the one species plots, the switchgrass plots, did not establish particularly well compared to the 4 and the 10 species plots. We actually ended up reseeding 2 of the most poorly established switchgrass plots in 2009 because of this, which is, once again, one of the reasons that these warm season species have this potentially poor drawback of poor establishment. Overall, though, as these species establish in this first year, there's still quite a bit of bare ground. About 30 to 66% of the ground was bare in 2008. Of course, this is contrasted in 2009, in which there was a lot more biomass in all the plots, including the switchgrass monocultures. By midsummer of 2009, only about 3 to 5% of the ground was bare. The increase in productivity in these plots can be seen in my graph on soil and biomass comparison, where biomass increased significantly from 2008 to 2009. Now, looking just at 2008, which is in the maroon bars, the sown biomass was significantly different across all three species treatments, such that the 10 species plots actually had about 15 times more sown biomass than the switchgrass monocultures. In 2009, which is in orange, the 4 and the 10 species mixtures produced equivalent amounts of biomass, and this was about 3.7 times more than that of our switchgrass monocultures. Now, just as with the sown species, weedy species biomass also increased from 2008 to 2009. However, unlike our sown species biomass, in neither 2008 nor 2009 were there any significant differences among the three treatments, such that all of them produced equivalent amounts of biomass. Although if you do look at it, while it was non-significant, there was at least some slight trend of decreasing weed biomass with our more complex mixtures. Another way to analyze this relationship was by plotting sown biomass versus the weedy biomass found in each quadrant that we sampled. And what we found was that in both 2008, in the triangles, and 2009, the diamonds, there was a negative tendency, a negative correlation between weed biomass and sown biomass. And while the R-squared was pretty low in 2008, it actually did increase to almost 0.21 in 2009. We're hoping that since the more complex mixtures tended to have higher amounts of sown biomass, that as these plots continue to establish, these more diverse mixtures will continue to produce more biomass and potentially be more competitive against these weeds. This summer, we also began a defoliation management experiment in the large plots. In this, we established a 50 square meter grazing exclosure in each of our treatments, and we allowed cows to graze, one cow per treatment, for two graze periods. One was in June for about 1 to 2 weeks, and the second one was in August. And as expected, there was more sown biomass in our grazing exclosures than in our grazed areas. Now, I say this was expected because not only were the grazed areas grazed, they were also mowed a little bit later in order to help control the weeds. However, in both the grazed and the exclosures, the tendencies for sown biomass were the same, such that there was less sown biomass in our switchgrass monocultures than there were in the 4 and the 10 species mixtures. And just like with the sown biomass, there was also more weedy biomass in our exclosures than in our grazed areas. We also saw no significant differences among treatments for weedy biomass in either exclosures and grazed areas, such that once again, it didn't appear like weedy biomass was affected by a defoliation managed, affected differently among our different species richness levels for defoliation treatments. The second experiment I'll talk today about is our small plot experiment. And the goal of this one was to examine how worn species plant diversity can affect ecosystem services. Now, because this is still early in establishment, the service I'll particularly focus on is productivity. Now, in this experiment, we established 5 different species richness levels. Rather than using specific mixtures, we used either monocultures, 2, 4, 6, or 10 species assemblages, which were randomly drawn from the pool of 10 species that I described earlier. Now, this means that for our 2, our 4, and our 6 species plots, they were all unique assemblages. We planted these at 14 kilograms pure live seed per hectare and harvested them in August in 2008 and 2009. What we found was that in 2008, the maroon bars, Sown species biomass differed significantly across our species richness treatments, such that our more species-rich plots contained more sown biomass than our 1 and our 2 species richness levels. However, this trend did disappear in 2009, when all the species richness levels produced equivalent amounts of sown biomass, as seen in the orange bars. We also looked at monoculture productivity in order to see how species biomass was affected as they established. What we found was that for 7 out of the 10 species, sown biomass increased from 2008 to 2009. Now, this was to be expected, as many of these species are perennial species. In particular, grasses are shown to improve productivity as they establish. And in fact, the only species that did not increase and actually significantly decreased was the annual legume, partridge pea, which is the 3rd species from the right. So what we found is that warm season species can be more than just a complement to these cool season systems, and that more complex mixtures can be advantageous in grassland forage settings. What we found was that these more complex mixtures tended to have more sown biomass in both large and small plots in 2008, and importantly, this trend was continued in the large plots in 2009. In addition, right now we're not particularly certain, but there may be some effects on weed biomass. We saw that there was, although non-significant, a decreasing trend in weedy biomass, and there was also a negative correlation between sown biomass and weedy biomass in our large plots. Incorporating the warm season diversity into grasslands may help improve the establishment of desirable species, and it may also speed up time to grazing. By using a more diverse mixture, some species can compensate for the poor establishment of others. For example, in our experiment, the poor establishment of switchgrass may have been compensated for by the higher productivity of the other species in the more diverse plots. Also in our experiment, cows were able to lightly graze the large plots this last year, just the 2nd year since establishment, which is important in species that are reportedly slow to establish. We'll continue to analyze the productivity and the species composition of our plots as they stand to mature. And also on our plans for future experiments is to analyze these forage mixtures for their nutritive value. I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Benjamin Tracy, and the rest of the Tracy Lab. And now I open the floor to any questions or comments you may have.
We have time for one quick question.
All of your mixtures are planted at the same PLS?
Yes.
How do you decide how much to put in an equal amount of seed?
They were actually not equal amounts of seeds in general. We did, especially for like the 10 species mixtures, it was about 25% of the forbs and legumes, so 5% apiece. And then we had between 10 and 20% of our grasses, depending on which mixture. So nothing was exactly even for the large plots. For the small plots, the mixtures were precisely, if we had 10 species, it was 10% of each of them.
Thank you.